thanks for joining us for this podcast coming from Portland Christian Center, located here in Portland, Oregon. In this podcast, we continue our series called Love Wins. Aaron McKee, associate pastor at the center, finishes the series with a message titled The Blessing of God's Love. The primary scriptures for this message comes from the book of Romans in the New Testament, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Now here's Aaron.
It's great to be here, everybody. For those of you who don't know, my name's Aaron McKee. I'm the middle school pastor here at this fine church. And there we go. Thank you. Thanks to Pastor Ray for letting me take the last Sunday of the year. Appreciate that. And want to know something for you guys. As the New Year's approaching, has anybody got their New Year's resolution? Made an entry in 2007. He said, in 2007, I'm going to read at least 20 good books this year. In 2008, I will read at least 10 books this year. In 2009, I will read 5 books this year. In 2010, I will finish the Pelican Brief. In 2011, I will read at least one article this year. In 2012, he had the broad goal of finishing the comics section. So yeah, the other person was a little different, but he kept track as well. He said, my resolution is that I will not spend my money frivolously. And then the next year, he said, I will begin making a strong effort to get out of debt. And then the next year, he said, I will be totally out of debt by 2011. And then the year after that, he said, I will try to pay off the interest on my debt in 2012. And then finally, he said, I will try to be out of the country by 2013. Hopefully, neither of those people is you. But if you will, take a moment and think back about this year. Think back about the stuff that's happened in your life personally, in your family, in the news. We live in a society that doesn't take a lot of time to reflect and think deep thoughts. But it is good for us, especially when we remember the things that God's done for us. And it helps us to remember what he's doing in our lives and helps us to be thankful. You know, in March, my family and I had the thrill and excitement of buying our first home and really felt an outpouring of love and support from our church family. And it was such an amazing high for us to be able to finally move in and to get set up. And then 2 months later, there was a diagnosis and we watched our daughter have a brain MRI. And so there were some real highs and lows. But, you know, God is good. And each one of us have personal stories that have happened to us this year, don't we? And so this morning I want to ask you to take a breather and, you know, just get away from the normal grind and just focus this morning on this simple truth as we're remembering what God has done for us. Remember that he loves you and he loves every person on the planet. And he loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for us on the cross. Many of us can personally remember the impact that that's had on us. And as we approach the new year, I'm going to be reading some great news from Romans 5. So you can start turning there if you want. But I believe that there's some fresh insight for us to take into 2013 that's going to make this a better year. So I'm going to start in verse 1. You can read it in your Bibles or on the screen. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. I love this passage, this whole chapter, because it really shows us a picture of what it's like to have a relationship with God. You know, they say it's all who you know, and knowing God really gives us an experience of his love in some incredible ways. First of all, it gives us his peace. We receive his forgiveness. We receive his grace and his hope. And those are just a few things right off the top. Now, I want to ask you a question. As we're kind of thinking back in the year and stuff, have you ever pulled out a box of old pictures? You know, found it somewhere underneath the bed or in the attic, and you started looking through them, and it wasn't long before the sights and the sounds and the smells of years gone by kind of begin to wash over you, and you just get lost in these pictures, and time seems to stand still. And sometimes you laugh, sometimes you cry. But yeah, I want you to remember the first time that you realized that long ago there was a love that gave it all for you through Christ's death on the cross. There was a love who paid the penalty for your sin. There was somebody who bridged the gap between you and God. And you remember your salvation experience, and you know that there's no greater love in the universe. It's love that's straight from the source, because God is love. The blessing of this amazing thing is that it can be experienced personally for anybody that's willing to accept it. There was once a medieval monk who announced that he was going to preach on the love of God the next Sunday night. So the evening came and the congregation gathered, and the place was dark. There were no lights. And the monk walked in and he lit a candle, and he walked down the aisle, and everybody is watching, and he showed first the candle light on the crown of thorns. And then next he went over to the nail-pierced hands. And then finally he finished off illuminating the spear wound in the side of Christ. And with a hush that fell over the crowd, he blew out his candle and he simply walked out. There was nothing else to say. Well, we're talking about love today, but I don't have any lighted candles, so I'm not going to be able to take any shortcuts. Well, think about the direction that your life could have gone without God's love. You know that it's had a personal and a huge effect on our lives. And this morning, I just want everyone to realize there's nobody who can't access this love through putting their faith in Christ. It's absolutely startling that we can never exhaust this unlimited reservoir. God's love is experienced personally, and it has an endless supply. It's not fanciful thinking. It's a hope of the glory of God, and it's a hope that there's more to this life than what we can see. It's a hope that the God who created the universe made us with a purpose, and that's a hope we can celebrate, and that's a hope that we never need to doubt. We boast in the hope and the glory of God. Psychiatrist Alfred Adler said, "Hope is the foundational quality of all change. Without hope, there is no action. The unemployed man with no hope of finding a job doesn't go out and look for one. The student that feels like they have no hope of passing won't bother to study." Now, I happen to believe that God can give you dreams and desires about the plans that he has for your future. So what do we do with those dreams, those pictures of what our lives could be? How can we help them to escape the cynical environment of our mind and get put into action? There was a study done of 300 world-class leaders, including FDR, Winston Churchill, Helen Keller, Martin Luther King Jr., and many more. It revealed that 25% of them had serious physical disabilities, and an additional 50% had been abused as children or were raised in poverty. And we all know that it's so easy to allow our circumstances to just overwhelm us. And yet these are examples of people who didn't let the difficulties in life win. And we can see studies like this, and it shows it's obviously possible to overcome obstacles, but yet at the same time, it's so easy to write off our own possibilities and say, those were just extraordinary people. And you're right, they were extraordinary. And you may not feel like that, and I'm sure that there are seasons of time where they didn't either. But the important thing to remember is this, that when you put your faith in Christ, you have access to Almighty God. You may be at rock bottom. You may feel hopeless. You may feel worthless, and people may have treated you like you don't have the right to exist. And if you're even tempted to think that any of that is true, I want you to remember this math equation. 0 plus God equals everything. Put your hope in God. In the very worst situation, he's more than enough to achieve victory. There is no situation he can't work out for his own ends. And we have the hope of the glory of God. And there's times where that hope is so outside of the box, it doesn't even start to make sense. But yet God gently reminds us to stay faithful to him. And as we do everything we can do, then he will do everything that he can do. Romans 5:3 says this, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings," and I would add, especially suffering for righteousness, "because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." God has made us for a purpose. And so we know that he has a vision for our lives, and deep inside, if we're honest, we know that there's nothing that's going to be more fulfilling than accomplishing that. So what is it that tends to stop us from fulfilling his plan for our lives? Well, fear, distraction, busyness, goes on and on. The late Zig Ziglar, who just died recently, loved to tell a story of the fellow who went next door to borrow his neighbor's lawnmower. And he asked for the neighbor if he could use him, and the neighbor explained that he could not use it because all of the flights had been canceled from New York to Los Angeles. And the borrower said, "Well, what does that have to do with me borrowing your lawnmower?" And he said, "Well, it doesn't have anything to do with it. But if I don't want to let you use my lawnmower, one excuse is as good as another." Is there always a reason why you can't seem to focus on what you need to focus on? There may be obstacles that seem to be in your way, but if you really boil them down, they're just excuses. Let me ask you this. If your situation was to change and you knew that this year would be your last, how would you live it differently? Would you finally complete your old bucket list, you know, the list of stuff you want to do in your lifetime? What if for a moment you could even get a picture of your future and you could jump ahead 10, 15, 20 years, and you could see the accumulation of your decisions. You could see the chain of events that you set in motion. How differently would you live today? How would you choose to spend your time? Where would you choose to invest your skills and your resources? The blessing of God's love is that it gives us a better vantage point. It provides us with an eternal perspective. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given us." The incredibly intoxicating love of God, straight from the source, in its fullest and purest form, has been poured into our hearts. That's going to have an impact on your life. You think Starbucks is going to wake you up? Talk about God's love. God's love helps us to make better choices. God's love helps us to find comfort and help and support with eternity in view. And knowing that there's more to life gives us an upper hand because we have something to hold on to. And God's love is extremely practical because it affects the very trajectory of our lives. Those are just some of the benefits, but sometimes stuff doesn't work out just the way that we want. God sovereignly orchestrates the affairs of mankind, and he places his people on every level of society all around the world. And when you think about why, it's because he's willing that none should perish, but that all should have eternal life. Pastor Rick Warren tweeted in the Twitterverse, he said, "Since I know God loves me totally and wants what's best for me, I don't have to understand every move he makes in my life." Experiencing God's love is not always going to be pie in the sky, because experiencing it fully will require you at some point to go far beyond your own uncomfortability. And yet, in the midst of that, there's a peace that passes all understanding. As we remain faithful to him, he empowers us to live out the path that he has for us. I tell my students sometimes that not all of them are going to be making $1 million every single year. Even though they probably think they're going to. You know, the fact is that most people don't. And God needs people who are going to be able to reach them. Life isn't ultimately about how much money you make. It's not ultimately about even fairness. It's really about surrendering to God's love in his plan for our lives and then maximizing our talents and abilities for his use. And one way we need to surrender our time is through our daily time with God, allowing him to align our compass, surrendering to him, giving him permission to work through our faults. The Bible says that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And I'm not so sure it makes sense to just fly through life blindly without really knowing where we're going. From faith's perspective, doesn't it make more sense to allow God to make the proper course corrections for us as we need it? Taking time to experience God's love helps enrich us and helps us make us a better person, and it compels us to surrender our plans and make sure that they line up with God's plans. Contrary to popular belief, just because you surrender your dreams doesn't mean they're going to be taken away. It does make that an option. But surrender makes sure that we don't miss out on what God has for us and for our families. For example, think about Abraham. All the stuff he would have missed out on if he hadn't surrendered. Sure, lots of turmoil, lots of difficulty, a guy named Lot. But the opportunity to become the father of many nations. And an incredible story to tell. Think about Moses. Think about what he would have missed out if he hadn't been surrendered. The opportunity to deliver God's people out of bondage in Egypt. To see God's hand do miracle after miracle. There was a price to pay for that leadership, though. In fact, it would cost Moses everything and beyond anything he could imagine. And if you remember, he also fought God on it in the beginning, at the burning bush, when God was telling him to go to Egypt, and he didn't want to go. He couldn't even talk straight. He was in exile. God was asking him to surrender everything. It would have been so much easier for him to just stay where he was and chill. But surrender isn't fair. It's not easy. It hurts. But if we don't surrender to God's methods, then we start doing things our own way. And I don't know about you, but when I start doing things my way, I just mess it up. I'm too nearsighted. I'm too selfish. I'm too broken to know what's best. And we have the unique opportunity to bring heaven to earth because we're the church, the body of Christ. And God has given us the keys to the kingdom, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Think back to why Jesus came to this world. Why did he die on the cross? What is he calling us to do? I think it's quite evident that we're designed with a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." What do you think God has prepared for you personally this next year? I think that God gives us each pictures of what our lives can and could look like. And I happen to believe that possibilities may just be hints from God. I want you to brainstorm for a second. If you could accomplish anything for God, or God could do anything in your life this year, and you knew that you could not fail, what would it be? You have unlimited resources. It's guaranteed that you will succeed. Write it down. Too often we see a picture like that, and before we even give it a chance, we start telling ourselves why it's not going to happen. We limit ourselves and our situation by our hope. And so this year, as you're beginning to assess your priorities and what it is that you'd like to accomplish, I want you to remember that as Christians, we don't have the right to take our talent, experiences, opportunities, and education and just run off in any direction that we want to. We lost that right at Calvary. So as God's workmanship, What is it going to take to accomplish the good works that he's prepared for you? What did it take for Christ to fully accomplish God's will? Surrender. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus surrendered everything in a time where in the natural it just didn't make sense, when all hope seemed lost. But Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Many years ago, the little daughter of Princess Alice of the House of Commons was seriously ill with diphtheria. The doctors told the princess not to kiss the little girl and endanger her own life by breathing the child's breath. Once, when the child was struggling to breathe, the mother, forgetting herself entirely, took the little one into her arms to keep her from choking to death, and rasping and struggling for her life, the child said, "Mama, kiss me." And without even thinking of herself, the mother tenderly kissed her daughter, and she caught diphtheria, and some days later, she passed away. Real love forgets self. Real love knows no danger. Real love puts others first. And maybe this year you've had a thought that's been reoccurring and something that may just make no logical sense at all to you. But you're honestly willing to consider if it's something that God might be calling you to. Write it down. It may be a hint from God. It may be a vision of something he wants you to do. It may not be. Whatever this persistent thought is, you're willing to commit it to prayer and write it down and put the note in a place where you can see it and remember to pray for it. Don't go around sharing it with everyone right away, because it may not be strong enough to withstand cynicism and critical spirits. Acting on a vision too early is like delivering a baby prematurely. They're weak. The world is hard on a vision. And the thought that you have is about change. And change isn't welcome in most arenas of life. So for a vision to survive, it needs to be mature and healthy before being exposed. This year, our church is going to have lots of opportunities for each one of us to act on God's purpose for our lives. And personally, we're going to have opportunities that really make us feel the limitations of maybe our personal history, our upbringing, or our lack of talents and abilities. But with God, those things don't matter. Our true limitation is the size of our hope. So take your limits off God, because he's put you here for such a time as this. And start praying a very dangerous prayer: God, use me. Take me into new territory. Give me new opportunities. Help me to shine your light. Help me to see your mighty hand at work. Give me the strength and the comfort that I need. But Lord, above all else, let me pass along the blessing of your love. So your assignment this week is to find some time in the next few days and write down every amazing thing that you want God to do in your life, and get specific. Take it to the next level and go online or talk to a trusted friend and see if there's any steps that you can do to help move towards that and make it happen. And lastly, pray for it, because nothing is impossible with God. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let's let love win in 2013. Let's pray. God, we just pause to reflect this morning on the life that you've given to us. Lord, on the love that you have for us. And God, we truly give you thanks, for every good and perfect gift is from the Father of heavenly lights. And we just stop to ask, Lord, that you will help us to engage with the plans that you have for us. Lord, you will let us be filled with anticipation and eager to show the blessing of your love. God, minister to us right now so that we can minister to somebody else. God, help us, use us, Help us to fully experience what your love is and what it means to be on your team. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Portland Christian Center podcast with Aaron McKee, teaching a series called Love Wins. To help you further, take time to look at the outline available with this podcast. If you live in the Portland, Oregon area and are looking for a place to connect, or you're just coming to our area, you can find out more information about our service times and programs right here on our website at pcctoday.com.